So glad you're here. Glad you're here. We'll have water baptism at the very end of the service. This is so that folks won't be in wet garments. Pardon? Yeah, we'll need to move the wall. We're about to receive an offering for Ron Gray next week. He will be here. He's the evangelist that I'm having come in for Easter. And as we'll show you the scriptures in just a moment, the Bible teaches us that we are to do these things before the servant of God comes. I've been to places preaching before, and they would stop the service and receive an offering from me. It's kind of awkward and those things. And Paul tells the Corinthians, he says, I want you to go ahead and do this before I get there. And so we're going to begin doing that. Before a ministry comes, we're going to release our faith, believe that the ministry is going to come, have a word for us, that he's going to come and minister to us. So we received one last week. We're going to receive another offering this week, or the offering, and it'll all go, of course, to Pastor Ron as he comes and shares next week. I want to encourage you to please invite folks to come. It's centered around evangelism, the whole service. It's not going to be a typical LifeGate service. What we're going to be doing next Sunday is having a couple of songs of praise and worship off the synthesizer, and then we're going to enjoy about 30 minutes of the Easter drama. We're going to see Christ crucified. We're going to see him rise again the third day. Is that okay? And so this is the emphasis of the service next week. And so I wanted to go ahead and tell you, where the offering plates be getting ready. We're going to receive it. As they're passing them, I want to just mention a couple of things to you. After the service, maybe Doug's already got it set up, but we've got these big things that we've used in the past for the camera stands and so forth. We want to get one of them out of here, the large one. And I don't know exactly what Doug's gotten taken care of on that, but we're going to need several guys to just help lift that thing and get it out of here so we can have room, move the other one to the back, put the spotlight on it. So we want to do that. Is there anything else? Receive offering for Ron. I think we're done. Oh, great. I want you to turn, if you will, in your Bibles. They'll catch up with us. We'll do it the old-fashioned way. Is that okay? Book of St. Luke, chapter 18. Today is the day we call Palm Sunday. It was actually the Sunday that Jesus rode triumphant into Jerusalem. Have I let the children go? It was the day that Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. Actually, it was Triumphal Entry Sunday. Next week, Jesus will rise from the dead. We call that Easter Sunday. This is the week that we recognize, and the whole world recognizes, Easter. We do it in different ways, with Easter bunnies and chickens and those kinds of things, but Christians believe that Jesus rose on Easter Day. That's what I believe. How about you? You believe that? And what I wanted to do today was center the message around the emphasis of what was happening in the life of Christ this particular day. And I want to minister to you a message titled, The Time of Visitation. Would you say that back to me? The Time of Visitation. And we're going to read several verses from chapter 18. We're going to skip around just a little bit to get the overview of it, and then several verses from chapter 19. And what we would normally do at this time is all stand and read together. But I'm just going to read to you. Is that okay? And I'll tell you where I'm reading at. Right? Chapter 18, verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things, let me stop there just a second. How many things? All things. Say that back. All things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. How many of these things would not be accomplished that were written by the prophets? None. All things were going to be accomplished that were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered, seven things are going to happen, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. Verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jerusalem, nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus of Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Let me emphasize just quickly before we move on to the next section that I want to read. Who was passing by? Jesus of Nazareth. Who did the blind man say? Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Let's stand together now and read the rest of it. Chapter 19. I want you to read real loud with me. Verses 1, beginning at verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now we're going to verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. Verse 35. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Today's message, the time. Father, I pray now for an anointing. I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of the living God would move, that we would hear the marching in the mulberry tree, that we would press in, that we would yell out the more, that, Lord God, today we'll be able to grasp and not miss the time of visitation. That we'll truly be able, Lord God, to receive today from the Spirit that which He has to say to the church. I ask for an anointing to speak. But Lord, I pray for an anointing that it falls upon good soil and that it becomes productive and produces 30, 60. Allow us, Lord, to hear. And allow us, Lord God, not to miss the time. Hallelujah. This is the time, as we've just read, it was a time of visitation. It was a time where Jesus had come. And as he came to Jerusalem, he speaks to Jerusalem, he speaks to the city, and he says, you're missing the time of your visitation. He says, you're going to be leveled. There's not going to be one stone standing upon another. He says, your children are going to be destroyed. Your enemies are coming, and they're going to encompass, trench about you. He said, you're going to be annihilated because you didn't miss. You missed the day of your visitation. Now, the importance of it is when we miss the time of visitation, when we miss the time that Jesus walks by us, when he passes through and comes by us, when we miss that time, bad things happen. Don't miss the time of visitation. Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 23. And then he spoke again in Matthew chapter 24, verse 33. And he says this to them, "This generation shall not pass until all of these things come upon it." He speaks to Jerusalem. He speaks to this city now. And he says, "You're going to be leveled." History proved him right. In AD 66, the Roman armies came in. Compassed Jerusalem about. Desolated the whole area. Leveled the city. Not one stone stood upon another on that temple. Over 1 million people died. Children and women included. 95,000 were taken into captivity, into slavery, and dispersed all over the Roman Empire. Jerusalem fell in AD 70. In AD 72, Masada fell. Jesus spoke it. How important is it to not miss the time that Jesus... And as I was thinking about that and meditating about that, I began to look back and see, as I wanted to talk today, about the time of visitation. I wanted to see what was happening in the time, in the life of Christ at this particular time. So I went back and I saw where Jesus said to his 12, he says, "It's time now to go to Jerusalem." He says, "It's time that we go and that all things be fulfilled. All things be accomplished." Jesus says, "I didn't come to destroy the law, I come to fulfill the law." That means I've come to finish it up. I've come to end it. It's come to its complete. It's all over. But what was spoken about the prophets, what was spoken by the prophets that was going to happen, I'm going to accomplish those things. I'm going to Jerusalem right now. And we're going to accomplish how many of them? All of them. Seven things. He says, "I'm going to be turned over to the Gentiles. I'm going to be arrested." He says, "They're going to mock me. They're going to spitefully. Spitefully." He says, they're going to scourge me. They're going to spit on me. He says, "They're going to crucify me. The third day, I will rise again." These things accomplished all. Hear me. Accomplished all that the prophets had spoken. Now, I'm speaking to the theologians and the Bible people, the people that really want to know these kinds of things. You see, there's a doctrine in the earth today that says this, that says that Jesus wasn't totally successful in his mission. There's a doctrine in the earth today that says that Jesus wasn't totally successful, and so because he wasn't totally successful, because the Jews rejected him, that we're now living in a parenthetical time. That we have to wait for a great tribulation to come about so that we can get on with the programs of God. Now, that cannot be right if Jesus said, "I'm going to Jerusalem and we shall accomplish all that the prophets wrote." Could it be? You see, Jesus didn't come to be received. He came to be crucified. He came knowing he would be rejected. Now, had they received him, they would not miss the time of their visitation. But had they received him, you and I wouldn't have been able to come into the kingdom of God as we have. He says those seven things are going to happen. And then Jesus left, and he begins to come through Jericho. As he begins to walk into the city of Jericho, he finds a blind man. He walks right past a blind man. I don't know if you can see that well. Maybe turn these lights off over on the side. He walks right past a blind man. The blind man's name is Bartimaeus. He walks right past him. Bartimaeus hears the people clamoring, and he hears the people talking, and he hears the excitement of Jesus coming into the city. And he says, "What's going on? What's happening? What's about to happen?" And they tell him, "Jesus of Nazareth is coming through town." Bartimaeus says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus keeps walking. The people say, "Bartimaeus, hush. Don't disturb the master. Be quiet. Leave him alone." Bartimaeus yelled out, cried out the more, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." The Bible says, Jesus. I got it. Listen, the guy is not missing the time of his visitation. You hear me? And we'll sit there real quiet because we don't want to disturb anybody. We'll sit there real quiet and let Jesus pass by and we'll stay blind.
The Bible says Jesus stood and he commanded that Bartimaeus be brought to him. What would you have me do for you? I need a healing. I need something from you. Hear me. This is important. Your faith hath saved my faith. All the guy did was yell out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. What faith? Bartimaeus recognizes of Nazareth was. Jesus of Nazareth wasn't only Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth was the son of David, the king. Hear me. We see several things here. First of all, one thing that we learn is that people, disciples of Christ that walk with Jesus a lot, still don't know the heart of Christ. But be quiet, Bartimaeus.
See, Jesus came to heal. Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus came to set at liberty those that were blind.
He came to preach the acceptable
year of the Lord.
Another
thing we learn is that Bartimaeus, and here's what I want us to hear today, pressed in.
David was at war. King David was at war. And he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, should I go to war? The Lord said, go to war. So he got his army up. He got up there. And he said, but when do we attack?
And the Lord said to David, said, when you hear the marching through the tops of the mulberry tree,
he said, you can't miss when the Lord moves. When you hear something in your spirit, when you hear something, and sometimes it's in the natural, and sometimes it's in your spirit, sometimes it's in a loud praise to God in the house of the Lord, sometimes in a quiet room, in your room, but you hear something in your spirit, you hear something going on, you know that the Lord is passing by, and you can't afford to sit there and be blind. Yell out the more! Jesus! Thou son of David!
Woman with the issue of blood, bleeding 12 years, spent all she had on physicians, pressed through the crowd until she could just touch the hem of his garment.
Oh, woman, get out of here. Stay away from, don't be bothering the master. And she pressed in because she was not going to miss the time of her visitation.
Canaanite woman, following Jesus around like a dog, had a daughter possessed with a devil, came to the Lord, and she addressed him the same way, son of David. Heal my daughter. See, these people recognized who he is. He's not a king without a kingdom. He was a king bringing his kingdom. Son of David. She followed him around like a dog. She says, heal my daughter. She has a demon. Some of us know people that are oppressed and possessed and have demons. She followed him around like a dog. In fact, he turned to her and he says, I can't give to the dogs that which was meant for the children. The Lord. Even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And you know what he said to her? What great faith you have. What great faith? That he is the son of David. And even a Canaanite, even a Gentile, is worthy. He says, your daughter's delivered. And the Bible says in that very hour, she can't afford to let him pass by. There's a time when you got to yell out the more. Bartimaeus came, stood before the Lord. Lord healed him immediately. Immediately he received his sight. And Jesus began to march on through Jericho. Where is he going? Where is he going? What's his purpose? What's Jesus going? We read it. Talk to me, somebody. He's going to where? Jerusalem. He's on his way. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going through Jericho. He's walking down the road. He looks up in this tree. Here's this guy up in this tree. The guy's name is Zacchaeus. The Bible says several things about Zacchaeus. It says one thing that he was a chief publican. He's a chief publican. He's a chief tax collector. He had a lot of other tax collectors under him because he's the chief tax collector. He had a business of collecting taxes. And the Bible says that he was rich. But it says one more thing about Zacchaeus that we dare not miss. He wanted to see. Now, as we look at Zacchaeus outwardly, as in our natural abilities, with our natural eyes, the guy had everything. He was rich. He had the best houses. He had the best donkeys. He had the best lands. He had the best everything. The guy was rich. Had it, man, had it together. Had his own business. He was well off. And look at him, you would think he had the world by its tail. And he was going for the ride. But when Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, Jesus didn't see this guy that had the world by the tail. Jesus saw this greedy guy who was lonely. This greedy guy who had tried to fill his life with all sorts of things, but was still void, was still empty. Oh, outwardly. But through the eyes of the Spirit, this guy was miserable. This guy had stolen from people and it bothered him. This guy had tried to fill his life with all sorts of things. But above everything else, as Jesus looked into that tree and saw this guy, Jesus saw a guy going to hell. You see, we look at people and we say, man, they've got it together. Look, they've got everything. But when you look at them through the Spirit, you always find they're not happy. And Zacchaeus wanted to. So he heard Jesus was coming. And so he ran because he was short of stature. And he ran ahead and he found him a tree and he climbed up in the tree. Hear me. He got in a position to see Jesus. He put himself in a position to see Jesus. And in so doing, in him putting himself in a position to see Jesus, Jesus was able to see him. Bartimaeus got his attention by hollering. Zacchaeus got his attention by making a fool out of himself and climbing up in a tree. Here's this rich guy in a tree. A chief publican, a rich man, up in a tree. Jesus walks up, sees this guy in a tree. There's no place else in the Scripture that this happens. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste. What did he say? Make haste. I got somewhere to go, and I got some place I got to be. But I've got time for you. Make haste. Come on down. I'm going to spend the day at your house. Hear me. I don't care how busy you think the Lord is. I don't care where He's going or what He's got to do. And He's always going someplace and He's always got something to do. But He's always got time for me and you. Always. If you put yourself in a position to see Him for Him. I'm going to your house today. The Lord spent the whole afternoon with Zacchaeus telling parables to the Pharisees and doing all kinds of things. And Zacchaeus came to the point in his life and he said, Lord, he said, half of what I own, I'm giving to the poor. And you know what? If I've taken anything wrongfully from somebody, I'm going to pay it back to them. And hear what the Lord said. Don't miss this. Salvation has come to your house this day. Zacchaeus did not miss the day of his visitation, but by putting himself in a position to see the Lord and for the Lord to see him, he brought salvation to his. Hear me. Some of us need salvation. And some of us need our husbands saved. Some of us need our wives saved. Some of us need our children saved. Some of us need our grandchildren saved. Some of us need salvation in our house. Zacchaeus put himself in a position of his visitation. He wasn't ashamed of making a fool of himself. But in so desiring to see Jesus, and salvation came. The Lord went on. He left Jericho and headed to Bethany. Now, there's a lot of things I would love to share. Luke doesn't share it in his gospel. John does. But it was at Bethany that Lazarus had died. And you remember the story of Lazarus come forth. The only primary principle that I was going to share with you, and I just didn't want to really get into it because I was looking at the time of the message and it was a little bit lengthy. I had done all of it. But the time that Jesus came to town and Martha came running out to Jesus and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, Lord, I know my brother's going to be raised the last day. But no, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, the resurrection is more than an experience. So the resurrection is a person. I am the resurrection and what? And the life. You see, I can have a life of resurrection. Verily, verily, an hour comes and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they that hear shall live. So there is a future resurrection. There is a resurrection the last day, John chapter 6. But there is a current resurrection that is now. There is a resurrection to come. But if you hear His voice, you can have it now. I am the resurrection and
Hear the connection. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says that we are caught up together and made what? To sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We can experience it right now. We can sit in high places and see things from His perspective because we're seated with Him in the throne. And we can see it from the way God sees it. And we can live it the way God lives it. And we can make great decisions and right decisions in our life. And we can experience the abundant life because Jesus says, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I come that you might have life. And that abundantly, because I am the resurrection and the... And you know the story. Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus did. See, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha did not miss the day of their visitation because they believed the resurrected life. Jesus, all things. So he gets his 12 guys up, and they... on the way to Jerusalem, through Bethpage, and through the Mount of Olives, Jesus says, I want you to go over here to the city next to you, to the village next to you, and go get me a donkey colt, colt of a donkey. And he says, I want you to go and get him and bring him to me. You want a donkey? And if they ask any questions, just tell him that I want him. So the Bible says they went and they got the donkey, they brought it back to Jesus, and they put their garments on the donkey, and they set Jesus upon the donkey. And they began to head for Jerusalem. Now, what is it with this donkey thing? I've heard that the donkey thing meant that Jesus was lowly and he was coming as the lowly king. I've heard, you know, that it didn't, if he'd have been really the real king, he'd have ridden in on a horse. Well, you see, first of all, there wasn't that many horses around in those days. And unless you study the scriptures and you find out what he's talking about here, you'll breeze right over it. First thing we've got to understand about the donkey thing is that Jesus is fulfilling the scriptures where he says, I must accomplish all things. And it's a fulfillment of a scripture from Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Now let's take a little time here and just digest this thought. It says, rejoice greatly. Rejoice how? Greatly. O daughter of Zion. Stop. What does that mean? What does Zion mean to you? It's where Santa Claus is from, right? Sides of the north. Now, is Mount Zion from the sides of the north the city of the great, the great king? Now, Zion was a hill. It's called a mountain. It was a hill, or is a hill, inside of the walled city of Jerusalem. It was on Zion that David put the tabernacle of David. And it's when we refer to Zion, you're talking about David. And you're talking about the throne of David. And you're talking about the household of David. Because this was David's house. David's house is on Zion. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Jesus, the Messiah, must come through the lineage of David to fulfill the prophecies. Then it says, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Zion, inside of the city of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was to rejoice. Why? Behold, thy king cometh. Now, the king is coming. Zion, house of David, Jerusalem, rejoice. Your king comes. He's coming unto you. He is just. What does that mean? Does he do things justly? He's a just king. He is not only just, but he also has salvation. And King James says, lowly. Now, that does not mean abased. That does not mean that he is low. He's a low king. I'm going to show you in just a second. Because the people that rode donkeys were very, very successful. In fact, they were the authorities in the city. I'll show you in just a second. But the word means gentle. And if you look at the NIV version, that's exactly what it says. It says that he comes, he's gentle. Aren't you glad that we have a gentle king? Aren't you glad that we have a gentle Lord? And that if you're a servant to him, and if you serve him in his kingdom, that he is gentle, even as he judges us justly. He says he comes riding, he's gentle, and he's riding upon a donkey, the colt of a donkey. This is what he's talking about. Now, what is the thing? Why does he have to ride on the donkey? What's the thing with the donkey? As we study the scriptures and we look at, find out what does it mean when people rode donkeys, we find out that what it really means is that these were the leaders or the authorities over the cities. In the book of Judges, which is about judging the people of Israel, Israel had a judge. In this particular scripture in Judges 10:3 and 4, Jair. He was a judge. And Jair had 30 sons. And his 30 sons rode on 30 donkeys. And then that, what did they do? And they had 30 cities. You see, the proper way for an authority in a city was to come on a donkey. When the guy rode in on the donkey, he was an authority. When the guy rode in on the donkey, when this guy rode up in the donkey into his city, he was the king of that city. Now, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, and shout, daughter of Jerusalem, thy king cometh, riding on a donkey. The authority of Jerusalem, the authority of Zion, the king is coming into that city on the donkey. One more verse. Judges 12, 13, and 14, we see the same thing. Another judge. And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews. They rode 70 donkeys. And they judged all. Why? Because when they come riding in on the donkey, they were the authority. And what Jesus is here doing in fulfilling the scriptures in Zechariah 9:9, our king, the authority, the awaited Messiah, the sad part is that Jerusalem, though they had all the scriptures, though they knew all the truth, one of the saddest things to me is Christians who have all the scriptures have all the truth. Jesus is on the donkey and he's riding towards Jerusalem, goes past the Mount of Olives. The disciples are laying down their garments in there, and they're beginning to wave palm branches, and they're beginning to shout because they're all of a sudden catching on to what's happening. They're all of a sudden realizing what's happening here. This is the king. Jesus is coming. He's going to come. The kingdom is coming. Jesus is riding in on the, and they get, and they start rejoicing. And they start clamoring, and people start coming out of the city and meeting this triumphal entry as it comes into the city. And people begin to shout and to holler and to praise him. Oh, the king cometh riding. Oh, hallelujah, Hosanna, Hosanna to the king. Oh, the son of David's coming in. And this clamor is going on, and the Pharisees come. And the Pharisees say, Master, teacher, rebuke your disciples. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I can't. Because, hear this. If I did that immediately, immediately, the stones would begin to cry. Listen, folks, ain't no rock going to get my praise. All of creation was recognized because if there's a king, he came to accomplish all that the prophets. Jesus rides on. And as he comes close to the city, he stops. Now, you would think that it would be a time of great joy for the Lord. You would think that it would be a time of smiling and happiness and joy. But instead, the Bible says, Jesus stopped and Jesus wept. Because he said, if you'd have just known your day, but because you didn't, it'll be hidden from you now and you're going to be leveled. People, please hear me. Jesus Christ is the King of this kingdom. If we receive him, we can have peace. If we reject him, not only is our house leveled, but our children. In this particular instance, 1 million people, 95,000 were taken into the nation that was leveled. Jesus wept. He rode on, not laughing, not rejoicing, but what? Weeping and crying because somebody, he rides in. You know what happens this week? Jesus came in and he rode straight to the temple. Didn't stop. Rode straight to the temple. Went into the temple. Drove out them that both, say it to me, bought and sold. Extremely important. Because see, so many of us want to run in on Sunday and get our quickie. We want to buy it. We want to get the offering to the Lord so we'll get our quickie. That we'll have our conscience satisfied. No. He drove out those that both bought and sold. See, if I were to try to sell you something like that, if I were to try to tell you that I can sell you, you could just come in here on Sunday and everything's going to be fine, that's all you got to do, I'd get run out too. He ran those out that both bought. There's no quickies in the kingdom. You got to press in, Bartimaeus. You got to get in the tree, Zacchaeus. You got to press through the crowd, woman with the issue of blood. You got to follow him around like a dog, woman from Canaan. You got to get it. You just can't come in here on Sunday and everything's lovely-dovey. Oh, no, 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 no. You'll miss the time Jesus walked out of the temple after constant confrontation with the Pharisees all week. Thursday, he went and he had initiation of the Passover supper, the Lord's supper, the table of the Lord, the body and the blood. Initiated the covenant. By the blood we're forgiven. By his stripes we are and were healed. We have the covenant. Jesus is arrested late that night. On Friday, he's crucified. He hangs on the cross from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. They take him down. But everything now is fulfilled. Everything now is accomplished except for one thing. And he'll do that next. Jesus rode to the city on the colt of a donkey. He looked at the city and he said, you could have had peace. I wonder how many of us remember the mulberry trees move, the spirit blows. We see people shouting, but we don't want to shout because we don't want to be. We see people making fools because they really want to see Jesus. And the whole time, it's us. I want to pray for people now. I want to pray for you for everything. Bartimaeus, press in. Zacchaeus, get down here. Get down here. Get your family experiencing salvation. Woman with the issue of blood, you press in. It's time to stop giving your money to things that aren't working in your life. Woman with a demon-possessed daughter, you get down here. Hear the Lord. Hear the Spirit of God. Allow Him to touch your heads bowed, please. Father, I want to pray now. Move. Move in our minds and our souls and our spirit. Don't let us be too proud to get into this. Don't let us be too proud to holler out. Let us put it back. Give us peace. You're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ. He's never been your Lord or your Savior, or maybe it was years and years ago. You made some sort of confession, but nothing really changed in your life, and you were just doing it on a spur because somebody else did it. It was just an emotion, but they, you understand.